Welcome to What I'm Cooking for Dinner, a podcast that takes you on a culinary journey through my mind, a passionate home cook. I'm your host, Haley, and I'm thrilled to invite you to join me on this delicious adventure. We all know that deciding what to cook for dinner can sometimes feel like an insurmountable challenge. Whether you're a culinary expert or a kitchen newbie, we've all faced the same question. What's for dinner tonight? But fear not, this podcast is here to inspire and guide you. My focus ingredient this week is chipotle peppers and adobo sauce. Last week, I made chipotle tahini dressing, and I had most of a can of chipotle peppers left over, so I wanted to make sure they didn't languish away in my refrigerator forgotten for months. By the way, it is totally okay if your chipotle peppers and adobo sauce do hang out in your refrigerator for months. They will be fine to eat. This will not be some kind of Cowboy Bebop lobster situation. What is a chipotle pepper? A chipotle pepper is a smoke-dried jalapeno chili pepper. It is most often used in Mexican and Mexican-inspired cuisine to add a smoky, spicy flavor to dishes. You can find them in various forms, whole dried peppers, ground chipotle powder, or canned chipotle peppers in adobo sauce. Adobo sauce is a tomato-based sauce that is typically used in Mexican and Spanish cuisines. It's slightly tangy and includes ingredients like tomatoes, vinegar, garlic, onions, and various spices. When chipotle peppers are rehydrated in adobo sauce, they absorb the sauce's flavors, making them even more delicious and versatile. I already used chipotle peppers in adobo sauce in two different dishes this week, chipotle chicken cheddar burgers and cheesy chipotle black bean quesadillas. Both of these are based on recipes from Half-Baked Harvest, though I made some significant changes to the quesadillas. Let's talk about these recipes. First, we have the chipotle chicken cheddar burgers. This consists of a chicken patty made primarily from ground chicken, chipotle peppers, and panko breadcrumbs. If you're not familiar with them, panko breadcrumbs are a Japanese breadcrumb which are larger and lighter than Western-style breadcrumbs and have a coarse and flaky texture. You'll see them used a lot in coating fried foods because they absorb less oil than Western-style breadcrumbs. On top of the chicken patty, I used sliced Tillamook cheddar. Other toppings include fire-roasted corn. I used the frozen kind from Trader Joe's because corn is no longer in season here. Mixed with lime juice and cilantro, sliced avocado, diced mango, and sweet chipotle mayo. I deviated slightly from the recipe here because I used hot and sweet pepper jam instead of Thai sweet chili sauce. I think cucumbers or like a quick pickled red onion would also be a fantastic addition to this to give it a little bit of acid. We of course ate these on Trader Joe's organic hamburger buns. 100% make these again, and I thought it was a great use of the chipotle peppers. The leftover chicken patties got served with some pasta and a lunch later on in the week. Next up, we have what I'm calling cheesy chipotle black bean quesadillas. These are based on a recipe, like I said, from Half-Baked Harvest called cheesy chipotle adobo chicken quesadillas. I knew that I didn't want to make two chicken recipes this week, and I'm finding myself not wanting to buy a lot of meat these days, as it's fairly expensive and my kids don't particularly like meat. I replaced the pound of boneless, skinless chicken tenders with one can of black beans, drained and rinsed. I didn't include the poblano pepper. No shade on poblano peppers, they just didn't have them at the store. I also didn't include the can of fire-roasted tomatoes. I bought it, but then I realized I didn't want that texture in my quesadilla. I ended up using the shredded Mexican cheese blend from Trader Joe's instead of shredded cheddar because I already had that in my fridge. And really, for me, cheese is cheese. To the kids, as long as it's not blue cheese. Warm up the beans with diced chipotle peppers, seasonings, and some water. Put your cheese on your tortillas, then some cooked rice, then the beans, and more cheese. Fold over the tortillas, which have been rubbed with oil, and put them in the oven. Cook them for about 5 minutes, and then flip them over, and cook them for another 5 minutes or so. Are these as good as doing them in a pan with oil? No, they are not. Are they less effort and mess and still pretty delicious? Yes. Would I go out of my way to make these again? Probably not. The leftover beans and rice, though, were used in the spicy peanut tofu bowl that is coming up next. So spicy peanut tofu bowls with rice, these are from a recipe from Pinch of Yum. I'm finding that I like the sauces from their website, but not much else about their recipes. So I've made a few of their sauces. I don't really like their sauces. I made some adjustments to the original recipe. First, I only used one block of tofu because two blocks of tofu is a hell of a lot of tofu. I completely forgot the cornstarch. Please use the cornstarch. Don't be like me and completely forget it. Your tofu will be crunchier and better for it. I had planned on using the broccoli asked for in the recipe, but I decided not to because I had some salad greens that needed to be used up and the broccoli was still frozen. I subbed an orange bell pepper for a red pepper for reasons that are still unknown even to me. I only used one bell pepper because the only person in the family who likes bell pepper is my husband, and he didn't even eat this meal. The spicy peanut sauce is what makes this meal. Of course, I could not make this as is because I'm always missing shit. I used the peanut butter, soy sauce, sesame oil, and honey, but I didn't use the garlic or ginger, and I substituted white vinegar for rice vinegar. I really do need to get some rice vinegar. I use it a lot, or I'm supposed to use it a lot. And fermented Calabrian chiles for the sambal oleg because I didn't have any. And remember, we used the leftover rice and beans from the quesadilla also in this meal as a topping. After this meal, we still had a lot of leftover rice. I prefer to cook rice in large batches since it works better with our ancient rice cooker. I love this rice cooker though. It has two settings, cook and warm. It's about 40 years old and I got it for free on a buy nothing group. But back to our leftover rice. I also had some odds and ends of cheese, so I figured we could do a cheesy rice with a vegetable. I was originally considering broccoli, but I had half a bag of frozen peas, and that was easier than thawing out broccoli and chopping it. I think I'm just kind of avoiding broccoli. I don't know why. Just it's a challenge. I made a cheese sauce, then added that to the rice and warmed that up with the peas. If you're not sure how to make a cheese sauce, you make a roux first, which is equal parts butter and flour, and then you add milk, you whisk it, and then you add in your shredded cheeses. The other thing that I made this week was an apple cinnamon babka. My previous experience with baking babka has not gone well, but it had been several years since I had attempted one. My baking skills overall have improved a lot over the last couple of years. So, how did I go about improving my baking? Well, first, I pay a lot more attention to the recipes and following them exactly. I make sure that if something needs to be room temperature, I get it to room temperature. Also, let's talk about room temperature for baking. Room temperature is a truly nebulous concept. What is room temperature? Is it the temperature of my actual room? In what season? At what time of day? I recently found out that room temperature for baking means between 65 and 67 degrees Fahrenheit, which is likely cooler than what you have your thermostat set at. For butter, this means that you want to be able to make an impression with your finger when you push on it, but not have it be shiny and greasy. Another thing that has greatly improved my baking is being more exact with my measurements. If you're planning on baking a lot, I highly recommend that you ditch volume measurements for dry ingredients and start using a scale with metric measurements. Sure, you can do the scoop and level with a cup of flour, but the weight of flour is highly dependent on a lot of different variables. Different brands of flours are going to have different grain size. Sifting also changes volume or even humidity of your room. So back to our apple cinnamon babka. I wanted to welcome autumn by baking bread and working with apples, which are both symbolic of autumn and the harvest. The kids helped me out with this recipe, and we had a lot of fun baking together. Plus, it makes the house smell great. Before I get into the specific recipe, I think it might be good to talk about what a babka actually is. A babka is a Jewish enriched yeast leavened bread with origins in Poland and Ukraine. Originally, it was made with the leftovers of challah and braided with jams or cinnamon. The popular chocolate version is a later invention. It is typically sweet, though there are some savory varieties. I used a recipe from Sally's Baking Addiction. Sally's Baking Addiction is a great resource for novice and home bakers because her recipes are streamlined, easy to follow, and consistent. I don't think I've ever had a bake go wrong when I follow her recipes. It might not be to my taste, but that's a different thing than a bake being wrong. I wouldn't say that Babka is a novice baker recipe. I would say that it's a good recipe for someone who bakes fairly regularly and is looking to try out something slightly more challenging. It's an enriched yeast dough, which means that it has butter and eggs, so it takes longer to rise. It also has a filling, which also adds to the rise time. This is a bake where you will need to have patience. The shaping was far less complicated than previous babkas I attempted, and the loaf we ended up with was massive. It was also absolutely delicious. The apples were perfectly cooked without being mushy and provided a tart counter to the sweet cinnamon filling. Unlike the cinnamon rolls that I made last week, I did not consider this bread to be overly sweet or too rich. It was an absolutely perfect treat. The crumb was tender while also having that bit of spring that you get when you're making with a yeast bread that has some gluten development. And overall, I would highly recommend this if you want to try out making a babka. All right, so just kind of to summarize, this week we made chipotle chicken cheddar burgers, cheesy chipotle black bean quesadillas, spicy peanut tofu bowls, cheesy rice with peas, and apple cinnamon babka. So that's a wrap for this episode of What I'm Cooking for Dinner. I hope you're leaving with, a mind full of inspiration and excitement for your next meal. So if you've enjoyed this episode, please consider subscribing to our podcast so you never miss one. And if you want to share your thoughts, recipes, or perhaps a story of your own, I'd love to hear from you. You can reach out by sending an email to whatimcookingfordinner@gmail.com. That's whatimcookingfordinner@gmail.com. I can't wait to read your messages and maybe even feature some of your culinary ventures in future episodes. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram at whatimcookingfordinner for sneak peeks and delicious food photos and perhaps even some updates on upcoming episodes. Thank you so much for joining me. It means the world that you're actually listening. So until next time, happy cooking, everyone. Bye.